A Charles Paris Mystery, A Doubtful Death, written by Jeremy Front from a story by Simon Brett.
I always sleep badly after I've accused someone of murder, especially someone who can fire me.
It's all right, Lovis. It's just the lodger.
My suggestion that Thomas had done to his lover what he was currently doing to Hamlet, murdering both, went down predictably badly. Frances and I were both staying with her friend Cassie, a classics don. Frances was there for the weekend, while I was staying for the duration of Hamlet. Named after Odysseus's mutt rather than the store, the cockapoo was charming if needy and attention-seeking, something else we had in common.
Do you want a doggy comfort break? There you go.
Shuffling across the open-plan kitchen to the open-plan sitting room, I dropped onto a sofa artfully designed to look older and shabbier than it was. Then my gaze was drawn to a library of lovingly catalogued vinyl.
And wondering what dress to wear now, where now? Prayer for you.
Sweet of you to pray for me, but Cassie's still asleep.
I'll turn it down.
Just turn you down.
There are people out there who'd pay good money to hear me sing.
There are always people who pay good money for bad things.
I don't have to stay here to be insulted, as no one's ever said outside of a soap.
Why did you rush out last night?
I had a coffee epiphany.
You should see a urologist. It was very rude leaving dinner like that. Cassie's doing you a huge favour letting you stay.
And in return, I'll talk to Morris about her TV proposal. But when Cassie offered coffee, I remembered the first time I met Cyriol and helped her with a coffee flask.
I'm none the wiser.
Look, the police reckon Jenny drowned between 5 and 7.
OK.
Tomas was rehearsing with us at that time, and he told me he'd spent the rest of the evening with Cyriol.
Right.
Well, that first time I met Cyriol was the morning after Jenny's death, and she told me she'd just arrived in Oxford. In fact, she'd come straight from the station. So?
Tomas couldn't have been with her the night before.
There you go.
Someone's lying.
Must be.
But if you knew that, why did you need to speak to Cyriol last night?
To confirm that I'd remembered correctly.
Had you?
I had.
And did you say you thought her husband might have killed Jenny?
I did.
How did that play?
Badly.
Can't think why. Now I need a coffee.
Help yourself.
Like you've helped yourself to Cassie's vinyl.
She said I should make myself at home. She's got some rarities here.
Just don't scratch them.
I was born analogue. I know how to handle... Whoa! A first-pressing rubber sole.
Do you want toast?
She's also got the American version with the lettering that matches John's suede jacket.
Brown or white?
The lettering was never white. It was orange in the UK and brown in the States.
They also omitted 4 of the original tracks and replaced them with I've Just Seen a Face and It's Only Love from Hell. I know a great vintage record shop if you want a mooch.
I'd love a mooch.
If only Charles had met you before me.
If I wasn't sort of married to Frances, I'd love to be sort of married to you.
I think your sort of husband sort of proposed to me.
I'm sure we can come to a mutually satisfactory arrangement.
I'm not a chattel. I know I'm nothing more to you than a hunk of beefcake.
Corn sausage.
But I don't like being objectified.
He really does.
Oh. It's from Jenny's understudy. Oh.
What's wrong?
She's just read Jenny's final Facebook post and thought I should see it. Have a look.
We live in the moment but never escape the past. It's super important to face your fears and take control of what's hurting you. Time for action. It stops here. You guys have always been there for me. Love, y'all. Smiley face, shooting star, namaste hands.
Sounds like a final farewell.
Who puts emojis on a suicide note?
Unless it's a statement of intent. Time for action. It stops here. Could mean something else.
That's the trouble with social media. Ambiguity and nuance never read.
Maybe she was going to tell Cyriol she was pregnant with Tomas's baby.
Would he kill to save his marriage?
Kick fever barely break even and Cyriol's been bailing them out. He might kill to save his company.
You don't want to lose the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Something burning.
Toast!
I arranged to meet Frances and Cassie for a lunchtime drink, then phoned the Kick Fever office, who told me Tomas was in an editing suite, piecing together footage we'd shot by the river the day Jenny disappeared.
Why are you phoning me at the weekend?
I just called to say I love you.
No to self. Change mobile number.
Have I interrupted pleasure or a medical emergency?
I'm running across Hampstead Heath.
I always said you'd get caught one day.
It's for charity.
What charity?
Children, donkeys. I know it's a worthy cause.
And a large celebrity presence.
There's always a good turnout for these things.
And you always go the extra mile if there's a deal at the end of it. Dan!
Who's Dan?
It's a guy I've got to know, does theme tours of Oxford. He didn't hear me.
Well, everyone here did.
Elder Wanderloft, the harassed-looking Dumbledore, shepherded a flock of Hogwarts uniforms past the Sheldonian, all viewing the sights through their phones.
You still haven't said why you phoned, and you better not be hustling me at a weekend. After the endeavour, Farrago, you're still in bad odour.
You're the one sweating, and I'm hustling for a friend.
You've got friends?
She's an academic with a smart idea for a TV doc.
All academics want to be on telly.
This one's brilliant.
The academic or the idea?
Both.
What's the shtick?
Shtick.
The USP, the gimmick.
She's an Oxford classicist with expertise
What does she look like?
Catch up, Morris. This is the 21st century.
It's not me. It's the industry. I'm not saying she has to look like a model. But does she look like a model? Forget I asked. Although it would help.
Morris.
Well, it's an overcrowded market. She needs a standout image. If she's a conjoined twin, we'll go straight to Channel 4. Otherwise, it could be anything. A novel speech impediment, bright green hair, no hair, bizarre teeth, statement spectacles, an umbrella.
Umbrella?
Yeah, I once sold an 8-part series on string theory to BBC Two on the back of an astrophysicist who always carried an umbrella.
Cassie's bound to have an umbrella.
Well, not an umbrella. Well, forget the umbrella. Umbrella's been done.
She's got a dog called Argos.
As in the catalogue?
As in the Odyssey, book 17.
Oh, excuse me for failing the 11+. Cute dog?
Cockapoo.
Oh, now you're talking. Anything else? Anxiety issues are very on trend. Oh, maybe a phobia, which means she can't function without the cockapoo. My dog made me whole again. Commissioners love a tragic backstory with animals and hope.
Even if it's not true.
Who knows what's true anymore? If she tweets and mentions it in interviews, it's true. Tell her to send me a 1-page pitch.
One?
Who reads two? And a photo of the dog.
I texted Cassie, passed on Morris's advice, then, good deed done, I headed over to the edit.
I didn't expect to see you today. To what do I owe the pleasure?
Tomash paused the playback. Freeze-frame black-and-white footage of the Hamlet cast on the riverbank. In the foreground was Jenny, moments before the panic attack from which she never returned. It was eerie to see her face again, eyes staring up at a distant point.
What do you want, Charles?
Want? Have you spoken to Cyril today?
Well, we woke up in the same bed.
Did she say anything about me?
Should she have done?
We had a drink together last night after her talk. We were discussing the night Jenny died.
I don't believe this.
You told me you spent the whole evening together, but Cyril said she didn't arrive in Oxford till the following morning. She also said you'd never harm anyone.
But she's my wife, so she would say that, wouldn't she?
Well...
Whereas we're barely acquainted, but you obviously know me much better than the woman I've lived with for all these years.
It doesn't alter the fact that the police say Jenny died between 5 and 7, and you were rehearsing with us till at least then, making the entire Hamlet company your alibi.
Then why are you still pestering me?
I'm just wondering why you said you'd spent the night with Cyril when she wasn't in Oxford.
You've been watching too many police procedurals, and I... Don't mean to be rude, but this editing suite is costing me a fortune.
Strictly speaking, isn't it costing Cyril a fortune?
Oh, you have been doing your homework.
You knew Jenny was pregnant, didn't you? I think she was more committed to the relationship than you were, so when she threatened to tell Cyril, it would have spelt the end of your marriage and kick fever.
For someone who does a lot of thinking, you couldn't be further from the truth.
OK, how about I go and tell the police what I know and see what...
Don't!
You were rehearsing with us. You've got an alibi.
But Cyril hasn't.
I'd been so hung up on Thomas's motive, Cyril's hadn't occurred to me.
Look, you know Jenny and I were... I liked her a lot, but the fact is it was just... It wasn't going anywhere, and Jenny knew that. Well, I thought she did. Now, this may sound contradictory, but whatever else, I've always been devoted to Cyril. We vowed that no one would come between us. We don't have children, and so if Jenny had told her she was pregnant...
You didn't know how she'd react, so you lied to give her an alibi.
Looking back now, I don't know what I was thinking. It's ridiculous.
Is it? I happened to overhear her laying into you about your infidelities.
Has your wife never laid into you? Would she kill anyone? Face it, I'm punching way above my weight with a woman like Cyril. She needs me far less than I need her.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have accepted Jenny's Facebook post as a final farewell to the world. I left him, looking at the reanimated Jenny, her lost, frightened eyes staring into the distance.
Over here, Charles.
This place is a rabbit warren.
Tourists love it because it looks like something out of Narnia. In fact, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien used to drink here.
I'd love to have been a fly on the wall.
Two tweedy men sipping pints and swapping notes on fairies, elves and talking beavers.
I take it you're not a fan of mythic fantasy.
I'm wizard intolerant.
Thanks for talking to Morris. I've already emailed everything to him.
No point letting the grass grow. Television's slow enough.
Yeah, he warned me.
You've spoken to him?
He's barely been off the phone. He's quite a character.
Yeah, isn't he just?
How'd it go with Tomash?
I'm starting to wonder if I should stick to acting.
Or even start.
Oi!
Talking of actors, I've got something for you. I saw a photo of Jenny in the Oxford Mail and I suddenly remembered seeing her in a very good student production of Antigone. Anyway, I kept the programme. Here.
Very professional. Our student programmes were A4 photocopies folded in half.
And this is Oxford.
And the 21st century.
There she is, Jenny as Antigone.
I've got to admit, I don't know my Aristotle from my Euripides.
Antigone's by Sophocles?
See what I mean?
She was the daughter of Oedipus, who fell foul of her uncle Creon and came a cropper.
Succinct, but pretty much how I'd sum it up in a tutorial.
From the slick production shots, it had clearly been a lavish modern dress production. The last photo was a full cast lineup. Bright, young, optimistic faces all smiling at the camera. All, that is, except one.
Who's the one in the combat fatigues? Front row.
He played Hyman.
Antigone's lover.
That's it. But can you remember what happened to him?
Comes to a sticky end.
Stabs himself when he finds Antigone's hung herself.
This Hyman's the only one not looking at the camera.
So he is.
Yeah, I spotted that.
We're good at this.
What about me?
Is the world ready for a classics double act?
The photo was taken 10 years earlier, and despite being drenched with Kensington gore, the young actor's face was familiar.
What a waste.
How do you mean?
They were all pretty good, but Jenny really stood out.
I looked at the key, front row, left to right. Nick Sheridan.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Morris. Oh! You say that to all the academics?
Stop scowling, Charles.
I'm not scowling.
You look like a gargoyle.
Yes, I'm interested. Yes. No, I'm happy for you to follow up. Actually, I'm with your client right now. Charles. Paris.
Oh, for
God's sake. Blood pressure, Charles.
OK, I'll wait to hear from you. Here he is. It's Morris for you. Sounds breathless.
It's a bit noisy. I'll take him outside to the garden. Are you still running?
It's called multitasking. You should try it.
I multitask.
Simultaneous drinking and smoking doesn't count. Cassie's a charming woman.
I see you're giving her the 5-star treatment.
New customers always get the special offers as an incentive.
Maybe I should shop around and change supplier.
Oh, you won't find a better deal, but if you're unhappy with your service, feel free to contact our complaints department at www.kissmyarse.com.
I think I'll pass. Have you heard of an actor called Nick Sheridan?
Doesn't ring any bells.
Ask Pixie.
It's the weekend.
You're available for Cassie. I'm sure Pixie's available for you.
What's the name again?
Sheridan. Nick Sheridan. Ask Pixie if Jenny told her the name of the ex-boyfriend.
Carter and if... Sedgwick Price.
What?
His agent, Nick Sheridan. 5'11", brown eyes, accents RP, Welsh, Scottish, Yorkshire, American, special skills, fencing, horse riding, scuba diving, agent, Lily Sedgwick at Carter Sedgwick Price.
How did you do that?
Tim Berners-Lee invented a thing called the World Wide Web. It's all the rage. I know Lily, if you want me to give her a buzz, we'll call it a thank you for hooking me up with Cassie. Laters!
Having promised me a mooch, Cassie led me and Francis past the botanical gardens and into the Cowley Road, where we entered the vinyl countdown.
Oh, Aladdin's cave.
Thought you'd like it.
He's died and gone to heaven.
It's a temple of musical delights. Can you smell that? If they bottled it, I'd dab it behind my ears.
Dust and mouse, we.
cardboard and vinyl. The odour of sanctity.
Why don't you ask them that they've got a job here with a flat above the shop?
You think that's a joke? She thinks that's a joke. I could happily spend the rest of my days in here.
Well done, Cassie.
We aim to please.
John Lee, BB, Professor Longhair, Muddy, Buddy. Look at this.
I'm left, you're right, she's gone.
Elvis, 1955.
His third on the Sun label.
Fourth.
I love this woman.
I don't know which one of you is the bigger nerd.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I don't think it was.
This was the King's first single to get onto the national charts, but that's not the only thing that's interesting about it.
What could be more interesting?
Who knows what's on the B-side?
Don't you love it when men ask you geek trivia?
Academia's full of them.
Anyone?
No idea.
Go on.
Not a clue.
You'll kick yourself.
I don't know.
OK, I'll tell you. The B-side is a track called Baby Let's Play House, and what's interesting about that is...
I'll be the judge of that.
What's interesting is that it was written and recorded the previous year by Arthur Gunter, but what's even more interesting...
I can't take this much excitement.
Ignoring my facetious friend, what's more interesting is that 10 years after the Elvis version, Lennon and McCartney recorded Run For Your Life.
Not my favourite track.
Misogynistic lyrics.
Granted, but the lyrics in question were lifted directly from... Baby, let's play house. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. Don't you think that's interesting?
Still misogynistic.
But in terms of the etymology of pop music lyrics, don't you think it's fascinating to see the influences, the lineage?
I could really go a slice of cake.
Cake first. Then we'll take Argos for a walk.
While they went for cake, I spent too much time and money, then staggered out with a recycled brown paper sack of joys. Who won?
It was a charity round, not a marathon. The poor little donkeys are the winners. Now, let's get to the point, because I'm roasting in here.
In where?
I'm in the VIP marquee, wrapped in foil like a Christmas turkey.
Maurice en papillote.
Oh, I need to rehydrate. Don't hang up. Another glass of the widow and a salmon blini.
While Maurice took on fluid and carbs, I perched on a wall trying to keep my precious haul of records away from an endless flow of tourists and pavement cyclists.
Oh, that's better. Are you still there?
I'm here. Any news from Pixie about Jenny's ex-boyfriend?
No, but I did bump into Nick Sheridan's ex-agent in the first aid tent having her hamstring massaged by someone from Fleabag. So I took her mind off the pain by asking about her former client.
And?
One of those sad, not unfamiliar stories. Young actor shows early promise, first bloom fades, career falters, then stalls altogether, and he finally throws in the towel.
It happens.
It does. If only more actors knew when to call it a day.
Is that supposed to mean something?
Everything I say means something, Charles.
When did Nick pack in acting?
About 5 years ago. Last Lily heard he'd run into a spot of bother with the Rozzers.
Is this a Bolting Brothers crime caper?
You bring out the Lionel Jeffries in me.
Did Lily say what kind of bother Nick ran into?
Apparently he had a bit of a temper, what therapists euphemistically call anger issues. Whatever it was, the police got involved, after which Nick Sheridan dropped off the radar. Now, if I'm free to go, my singlet's starting to chafe.
I jumped down from the wall and narrowly escaped death by Eddie Merckx in an academic gown.
Try slowing down!
Is this yours?
In Hufflepuff shorts and baseball cap, a young tourist handed me Arthur Gunter's Baby Let's Play House. And that's when I had epiphany number two. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man.
Come on, Francis, pick up.
If you're phoning to tell me John Lee Hooker's first record label, I'm not interested.
Do you fancy walking Argos into town to meet me?
Why?
I like dogs, and I could do with your help.
With what?
Meet me outside the Sheldonian in 10 minutes, and I'll tell you. And tell Cassie to bring her Antigone programme. Modern, by the way.
What is?
John Lee Hooker's first label, Modern Records.
Nerd.
Rather see you dead, little girl, and to be with another man now, baby.
Hello, Argos.
Okay. What's with the cloak and dagger intrigue?
I thought you two might fancy a Harry Potter tour.
Thanks, but I'm not 10.
And I've got the dog with me.
There's a Potter theme shop over there. You could go in costume.
2 grown women dressed as wizards?
Tourists do it. You'll blend in.
What's this about?
Did you bring the Antigone program?
Yeah. Here.
According to the photo key, the guy in camouflage was a student actor called Nick Sheridan. I recognise the face, but not the name, so I put Maurice on the case.
Is that an agent's job?
He's got to do something for his 10%. Turns out Nick Sheridan gave up acting, ran into trouble with the police, and then dropped off the map. But I recognised him as a tour guide called Dan.
You think he changed his name?
Just look at the photo. Everyone's staring straight at the camera.
Except Nick Sheridan.
A.K.A. Dan. Follow his gaze and tell me what he's looking at.
Jenny!
Now, I've chatted to him, so he knows me. But if you two went on his tour...
They won't let Argos in some of the venues, so I'd have to wait outside. But if you're worried about being recognised, why don't you two go in costume?
Now, we've emerged from the dark crypt into the light. And if you look across the quad, you'll recognise the oak as the very tree where Mad-Eye Moody turns Draco Malfoy into a ferret.
I suppose you've seen all the films.
I was a teacher. I had to know what the kids were into.
Now, I don't do this for everyone, but as you've been such a special group, before we finish, I'm going to take you up high for the best view of the city. Come on, follow me.
He does this every time.
If you can fake sincerity, you can fake any...
Ow! What's wrong?
My polyester costume's generating so much static, my nylon beard's arcing.
I thought I saw sparks in the undercroft.
Much more of this and I'll be selling electricity back to the national grid.
You're not the only one who crackles when he walks.
At least you look hot as Bellatrix Lestrange.
I don't look hot, I am hot. And if you don't cool down, there'll be a lot of traumatised kids when Hagrid spontaneously combusts.
The view from the top of the tower was breathtaking, if vertiginous. But I kept away from the parapet, and after several thousand selfies, the tour came to a natural end.
Assorted Potterheads, if you've enjoyed the tour, please feel free to show your appreciation by leaving a spell in the sorting hat I've left at the bottom of the stairs. Mind your head on the way down. Thank you.
We hung back as Dan ushered everyone through the low door.
We're the last two.
I know.
Now what?
Improvise.
Ah, the two best costumes of the day.
Apart from yours.
Mine goes with the job, but yours...
We're into cosplay.
What? Right.
Not in a weird way.
No.
I mean, it's not a sex thing.
Right. No, right.
Not that we're judgmental.
Just mind your head when you go down.
Sorry?
Stairs.
Stairs. Downstairs. Yes. Right. Thanks. See you at the bottom, chummy.
Chummy?
Privately educated.
Well, looks like it's just you and me, Hagrid. Or should I say, Charles. You finally made one of my tours, and I must say, you really threw yourself into the theme.
You heard the cosplay queen.
I also don't judge.
It's best not to. I mean, we've all done things we'd rather not be judged on, don't you think, Dan? Or should I say, Nick?
Why do I feel I'm about to be judged?
With the door open, I'd felt pretty safe. But now, he stood with his back to my escape route.
You've obviously gone to a lot of trouble to find out my name. What's this all about?
You and Jenny were students together, weren't you?
If you know that, you also know we were a couple. Here, let me show you something.
He took me by the arm.
Ow!
Polyester costume.
Having earthed himself, Dan led me to the parapet and pointed across the roofscape.
We had a flat just over there. Two young actors starting out on life's great adventure. Of course, Jenny was far more talented.
Not a good basis for a relationship.
I accepted I'd never be on her level, but I could help steer her career.
Even if she didn't want to be steered?
You've probably heard all sorts of gossip and rumours. But the truth is, it didn't matter how much I encouraged her, Jenny had no self-belief. It was frustrating, infuriating. If she'd just listened to me,
This may come as a shock, but we men don't always know best.
Ah, okay. I didn't have you down as a beta male.
Is that an insult?
When did it become bad to be the good guy? But no, Jenny knew best, and the more I tried to help her, the more she pushed me away.
Women don't usually report their partners to the police for being too helpful.
Fine. They've obviously got to you.
They? Who's they?
I didn't kill her, Charles.
There was a restraining order on you.
It wasn't my fault she turned up in Oxford.
I saw you on the bridge when we were filming.
Yes.
Did you see her kissing Thomas?
No.
That's when you decided you'd rather see her dead than to be with another man.
I didn't see her with Thomas. I saw her, she saw me, and that's when she ran away.
It was a panic attack.
How do you think I felt when she confronted me that evening?
She confronted you?
She must have followed me down to the river, but with a restraining order on me, I don't want to go to prison, so I tried to back away. I'd never seen her that keyed up. She was manic. She kept coming at me, screaming about facing her fears and taking back control. That's when she went for me, so I pushed her away.
You pushed her?
Not hard, but she lost her footing and fell in the river. She must have hit her head on something.
Didn't you try to help?
I panicked.
Alpha males don't panic.
It was self-defense.
A woman died.
It was an accident.
That's for the jury to decide.
A jury will find me guilty.
You can't run away from a thing like this.
I'll walk away.
And live with Jenny's death on your conscience.
In time, I think I could.
Well, I'm not going to let you find out.
That decision's out of your hands.
What?
This is not personal, Charles.
It looks pretty personal from where I'm leaning.
I've enjoyed our little chat.
You're insane.
No one else knows what happened.
They will when I post this online.
Give me that phone.
Leave her alone.
Do as he says.
A cockapoo? Seriously?
Sick him off.
Don't get him off me.
Dan was right. After a jab, stitches, and a course of antibiotics, a jury did find him guilty.
The soldier's music and the rights of war...
Kick Fever's physical, detextualized reimagining of Hamlet opened to Marmite reviews. Devotees thought it further proof of Tom Ashe's genius. Detractors said it was all style and no content.
Go bid the soldiers shoot!
Well, I never thought I'd see you reciting blank verse from a pair of running stilts.
The Three Hamlets.
The puppet was the most lifelike.
Most importantly, I didn't bail before opening night, so I win the bet. That'll be £100.
Only if I bail on my gap year, and I'm going.
Seriously? Don't tell me. Thailand.
Actually, it'll be more like an 18th century grand tour of the Met.
Milady sowing a wild oats with a Neapolitan ostler and ending up with the French disease.
We all need an ambition.
At least then it's not too far when you want to come home early.
Not gonna happen. In fact, I've already found tenants.
Well, what about me? You're chucking me out of my own home.
Sorry?
You're chucking me out of your own home.
I did warn you. It's all been a bit of a whirlwind, but if you'll calm down, I've found you somewhere.
Where?
Here.
Oxford?
Cassie's Sirius has been picked up, greenlit and fast-tracked.
Morris has never fast-tracked me into anything.
Right person, right project, right place, right time.
I've never been more than one of those.
Cassie wants a living companion for Argos.
I'm an actor, not a dog walker. Anyway, the dog's her shtick.
Change of shtick? BBC 4 want popular history appealing to the Grey Pound post-Me Too demographic with two middle-aged women discussing murder in the ancient world.
Who's the other one? No way.
It's a fresh take on the Socratic dialogue format with me as non-threatening everywoman asking questions of the expert.
That's great, but what about screen experience?
No one cares. And Morris backed them into a corner over equal pay for women and shamed them into a great deal.
Congratulations. I'm happy for you. Anyway, who wants to be on telly when he could be walking a dog?
Hi. Put me through to Morris.
Reasons to be cheerful. Part three.
One, two, three. In episode 4 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Dan was Will Kirk, Tomáš Ian Conningham, Cassie Heather Craney, and Fortinbras was Icky Elias. A Doubtful Death was written by Jeremy Front from a story by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Adams. One, two, three.